toward the end of the Old Testament, Amos chapter 5. Thank you, ladies. What a great song that is, and what a great truth it is. Without him, we wouldn't be anywhere. And thank you so much for that. Appreciate the good song, good music this morning. Amos chapter 5, we're going to kind of pick up, if we can say piggytail a little bit, on last week's message, sermon. We preached last Sunday morning, Am I God's Biggest Troublemaker? And it was an amazing service. We had people throwing each other up under the bus and pointing fingers and all that sort of thing. Are we God's biggest troublemaker? And we talked about some things about that. We troubled God by our insincere worship. Insincere worship. That's how we trouble God. We talked about we trouble God in an insubordinate will. When we refuse to yield to God, we refuse to obey God, when we refuse to heed His commandments, we trouble God. And we talked about being God's biggest troublemaker, and we are an ineffective witness. God has called us and delivered us out of sin to be a witness and to be a light, be salt on this earth, and we're an ineffective witness, then that troubles God. And so we talked last week about Am I God's biggest troublemaker? One of the things we mentioned about last week was about the insincere worship. And we talked about some things that God rejected out of Isaiah chapter 1 and some things that God had put aside. I want to kind of pick up where we left off on that end last week and look in Amos chapter 5 this morning and look at a few verses. Amos chapter 5, if you're able to do so, if you will please stand reverently for the reading of God's word this morning. Amos chapter 5, and we'll begin our reading in verse 21. Amos chapter 5, and begin reading in verse 21, where God says, I hate. Now, those are strange words to hear God say. He said, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. And we explained last week how that they would burn incense, and so that God would smell that incense, that fragrance. And so he says in verse 21, I will not smell your solemn assemblies, your incense, your fragrance. Verse 22, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. Now, verse 21, verse 22, and verse 23, he gives us some things that he's not going to accept. And we talked about those things last week about insincere worship. We can come and we can put money in the plate, and we can sing songs, as he talked about in verse 23, and we can make sacrifices and say, God, look what I've done for you. And God said, I'm not impressed with a bit of it. I hate your feast. I despise your burnt offerings. I'm not going to smell the fragrance, the incense that you offer up to me. I don't even want to hear your music. So the question bears to be asked, what does please God? Notice verse 24. He said, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. I want to speak to you this morning on being weighed by God. Being weighed by God. There are two things that God bases everything on. They are justice or judgment and righteousness. Justice or judgment and righteousness. He said in verse 24, let judgment run down as waters. Let it be plentiful. And righteousness as a mighty stream. What does it mean to be weighed by God? Heavenly Father, pray to help us this morning as we look in your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done this week. Lord, there's so many things we don't have time to express all of them, but Lord, we're grateful for your goodness to us. Lord, I thank you for our guests today. Lord, I pray they receive a blessing from being in your house and receive something from your word. Lord, may we yield our hearts and our minds to you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just a few verses very quickly by way of introduction about justice or judgment and mercy, or judgment and righteousness. God said, I want judgment to run like the waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Notice what the Bible said in Isaiah 5 and verse 16. Isaiah 5 verse 16 says, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. So God exalts righteousness and is exalts in judgment. He's sanctified in righteousness. Isaiah 33 and verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 2. And thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. The nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Jeremiah chapter 33 in verse 5. In those days and at that time, when I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up into David. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Look, if you will, please, in our text in Amos chapter 5 and look in verse 14 and verse 15. Amos 5, verse 14 and 15. He said, seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good. Establish judgment in the gate, that it may be the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. We live in a day when we are emphasizing God's love. And by the way, can I go ahead and say emphatically, God is a God of love. I thank God for that. But I want to tell you, God is also a God of judgment. And God is also a God of righteousness. And for far too long, we have emphasized God's love. And I'm glad He is merciful and gracious. And we're going to talk about this morning. But may I say to you, God is a God of judgment. And God is a God of righteousness. As a matter of fact, we're going to read a verse in just a few moments where the Bible says that He delights in those things. And we'll read a number of verses and look at a number of verses this morning. Talk about God's judgment and God's righteousness. They go hand in hand. You will rarely find judgment mentioned without righteousness. You will rarely find righteousness mentioned without God's judgment. They go hand in hand. It's God's tools. It's what God weighs us by. If you find a balance, there are always two scales on the balance. And there's God's judgment against God's righteousness. And that's how God weighs His people. Let me give you four things this morning very quickly about being weighed by God. First of all, there's actions that are weighed by God. Our actions are weighed by God. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, we read this verse last week. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied Him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? I want to tell you, we live in that day today where people are saying, where's the God of judgment? Who's going to judge me? Who has the right to judge me? Who has the right to have control over my life? And we have even believers who say, well, if God is present, then why doesn't He judge evil? Can I say to you, God is judging evil and He's going to judge evil. But He doesn't settle His scores on our timetable. He doesn't execute judgment the way we execute judgment. And understand, God is going to execute judgment. And the question is asked in Malachi chapter 2 in verse 17, where is the God of judgment? Here's what they're saying, two things here. First of all, if God is just, why doesn't He judge evil? But they're also saying, what right does God have to judge me? Where is the God of judgment? Who's going to judge me? Notice what the Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. The scripture says this, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk thou in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all of these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Understand, God is going to bring judgment for the actions that we produce. God's going to judge us. Notice what the Bible says again. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And by the way, God judged the children of Israel for their evil deeds, for their wickedness. Notice what the Bible says in Isaiah 1, verse 21. Isaiah 1, verse 21. He said, how is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Here's what God is saying. There was a time when righteousness and judgment was on the throne, was in charge of the nation of Israel. But they've overthrown judgment. They've overthrown righteousness. In verse 21, He said, how has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. There was a time when God's people elevated and emphasized the judgment or the justices or the commandments of God's word. But now it's a city of harlots. Now they worship false gods. Now every other thing is being worshipped and idolized. And boy, that's true in our country. There was a day in this country when this book was elevated. There was a day when this book was lifted up and exalted and read in every public school, read at every public meeting of government leaders. It was exalted and lifted up and magnified. But now we worship everything but God. We worship the trees. We worship nature. We worship man. We worship sports and athletics. We worship Hollywood. We worship our bodies. We worship everything but God. That's what He said in Isaiah 1, verse 21. How the faithful city become hardened. It was full of judgment. He goes on to say, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. We continue again, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is His pleasant plant. He looked for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, but behold a cry. God looked for judgment and he found oppression. We find that in our day. We find people, God is looking for judgment and for justice and for righteousness, but instead he finds oppression. He finds people taking advantage of one another and abusing one another. He said in verse 7, he behold oppression for but and righteous, but behold a cry. Look at Amos chapter 5, our text. Look in verse 7. Amos chapter 5, verse 7. He said, ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. Now we've done that in our day. We have turned justice and judgment into that which is worthless, that which is unseemly. We've left off righteousness. Where do you find righteousness in our day, in our culture today? Sometimes you can't even find it in God's house, much less anywhere else. And the Bible says this is a response that we've had. And so God is going to judge the actions of his people. We've turned judgment into wormwood. We've left off righteousness. We've abandoned righteousness. Notice what the Bible said in Amos chapter 6 and verse 12. Turn over to just one page. Amos chapter 6 and verse 12. Shall horses run upon the rock? Will one plow there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. You remember what gall was? Gall was what they offered Christ on the cross of Calvary. He said, you've turned judgment into gall and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. We have taken that which is good and twisted it to make it look evil. And boy, that is a very descriptive picture of our day. Those who want to do evil and wickedness and ungodliness can rule our land without any problem whatsoever. But you try to take a Bible into a public school and they'll put you in jail. You try to pray in a public assembly and you're a threat to our society. Matter of fact, fundamentalists, what they call fundamentalists, is what they determine now is now a greater threat to America than the Muslims are. That's what our government thinks. By the way, if you don't believe that, just kind of watch the news a little bit. You'll find out it's true. We've turned judgment into gall. We've turned righteousness into hemlock. God's going to judge the actions. So as we're weighed by God, we're weighed by our actions. Notice number two, the second thing we see, not only is there the actions of God's way, but number two, there's the authority of God's way. You say, preacher, what right does God have to judge me? If God is my judge, what right does he have? Well, notice what the Bible says in Psalm 33 and verse 4. He said in Psalm 33, 4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Can I say to you, all of God's judgments are based upon this word, and this word is true. It never changes. You can go to a lot of places, see a lot of things, and everything changes. I'll tell you, this book does not change. The Bible said it is forever settled in heaven. This book has always been true. It is true today, and it will always be true. Therefore, we can bank on it. And God said, I'm going to judge you based on truth. He said, my word is truth. The word of the Lord is right. All of his works are done in truth. We all know people, maybe at work or maybe at school or maybe in some other area, that they are very biased. And they'll go by the book except when it benefits them. Or maybe when it benefits somebody else they like. And then they kind of deviate from the book. I want to tell you, God always goes by the book. It's the authority that God has. It's the authority that God gives. And so we see God's authority. And then Psalm 9, verse 7 says, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. Now, God has a throne that he sits on. What's that throne for? That throne, the Bible tells us in Psalm 9, verse 7, is for judgment. Verse 8, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. So on God's throne, he has two elements. He has judgment and he has righteousness. Again, we continue Psalm 97 and verse 1. The Lord reigneth. The Lord is on the throne. The Lord reigns in Psalm 97 verse 1. The Lord reigneth. The Lord let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness, verse 2, are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Again, two elements found on God's throne, their judgment and their righteousness. Psalm 99 verse 1 says, the Lord reigneth. Verse 4 says, Psalm 99 verse 4 says, the king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou hast done thou dost establish equity, thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Again, we find those two elements together. Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 5. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth. There's that word truth again. And in the tabernacle of David, judging, seeking judgment, and hasting righteousness. Here again, we find those two words together. May I say to you that there's the actions of God's weighing. And then number two, there's the authority of God's weighing. God sits on a throne. That throne has two elements, judgment and righteousness. You say, preacher, what right does God have to judge me? Well, number one, he has the right to judge us through creation. The Bible tells us there was not anything made, Colossians chapter 1. There's nothing that was made. There's nothing that is made that was made that was not created by him. It all came from him. God said to you, he has a right to judge us because he created us. The Bible said we were made in the likeness of God. Understand, we're part of him. He created us. He formed us out of the dust of the ground. And every breath that you take, and every step that you take, and every action that you participate in, every thought that you have, is all a generous gift from an almighty, all-powerful God who has sovereignty over us. He has the right because of creation. The air we breathe, the beauty we enjoy, our nation and the nature that we enjoy, the ability to walk and to move about and to enjoy a pain-free day, I'll tell you, all that's a gift from God. I mean, you wouldn't take a breath without God's help. We couldn't move a muscle without God's help. If it were not for God's design and His wisdom and his knowledge in creating this earth and creating us, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't understand how anybody can study the human body and have a reasonable consensus that we evolved. How can they think? Do you understand how intricate your body is made? How we've got specialists on top of specialists, and they still don't have all the answers. They've been trying for thousands of years to cure the human body, and we're still so far away. You know why? Because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to tell you, that did not happen by accident. I've always wanted to ask people who believe in evolution and believe that we're evolving. There's never been any record. If we're still evolving, then why have we never, there's not one record in recorded history of anyone ever witnessing anything evolving into a higher nature. Not one. Not one bit of evidence. Yet we never hear anything about that. No, we're not evolving. God created us in his image, in his likeness, and we're made perfectly by his hand. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. May I say to you that God has a right to have the authority over us. He has the authority to judge us because of creation. Number two, he has the authority to judge us because of Calvary. I read all these verses about God's judgment, but then I read about what God's done. I love the phrase, but God, just a great study. In the book of Genesis, we find, but God, for Joseph's sake, meant it for good. Joseph was thrown in the prison, but the Bible said, but God meant it for good. In the book of Exodus, we find the children of Israel in captivity, but then we find the words, but God led them. We find Samson over in the book of Judges and without food, and the Bible said, but God clave for him in the hollow of the jaw. We find David running from Saul, and we find in the book of Psalms that, but God delivered him. We find in Romans chapter 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We find in Corinthians, but God is faithful. You may be going through some temptations and some trials and some difficulties and some problems in life, but God is faithful. May I say to you, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible says, but God is rich in mercy. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, without hope, without God, but God who is rich in mercy. I say to you, God has the authority to judge us because of Calvary. He gave everything for us. He has the authority to judge us because of creation. He made you. I'm a self-made man. You're no such thing. God gave you every breath you've ever taken. He gave you ability to take every step you've ever made. May I say to you, he has the authority to judge us because of creation. Then number two, because of Calvary. Then I see number three very quickly, the third thing that God weighs. God weighs our actions. There's the authority of God's weighing. There's the actions of God's weighing. Then number three, I see the awarding of God's action. The Bible tells in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon looked out, he said, I saw the place of judgment. I saw under the sun a place of judgment and a place of righteousness. And I saw that God is going to judge the righteous and God is going to judge the wicked. Can I say to you, both elements are going to be judged. God is going to give them the fruit of their labor. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The Bible said, and judgment was given unto them. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Blessed are the dead which die of the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Can I say to you, there's going to be an awarding one day, both of the wicked and of the righteous. Those who die without Christ, who've lived according to their own will, who've lived according to their own design, who've rejected God and God's word and rejected the gift of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ came, who lived the perfect life and shed his blood for the sins of mankind. And for those who rejected the gift of Christ's free salvation on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says God is going to judge the wicked. May I say to you, to be wicked, you only need to do one thing. That's to reject God's gift. So, preacher, I'm not a murderer. I've not murdered anybody. I'm not stolen from anybody. I'm not a thief, and I've not done any of the things that some of the Ten Commandments. I've not transgressed. I'm a good moral person. All you have to do to enter hell is reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's all. The Bible said we came into the world condemned. We're already bad people. You were born bad. All of us were. May I say to you, God one day is going to judge the wicked. He's going to cast them into a place called hell, the lake of fire. They'll burn forever and ever and ever. The Bible said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, forever and ever and ever, they will be judged for their sin. But then God is going to award the righteous. He said in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, he said there was a there was judgment that was given unto them. And again, Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, their works do follow them. I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day when everything you've ever done for Jesus Christ, not for self, not for recognition, not to be impressive to someone, but what you've done for God and God alone, one day is going to be rewarded. I think about that song we sing often, it will be worth it all. One day life's trials will soon be yours. One day we're going to bask in his presence. One day we're going to enjoy his presence forevermore. I want to tell you, it will be worth it all. Every dish you've ever washed down at the camp, every trip you've made on the bus route, every time you've gone down to the prison and been spat upon and cussed at and screamed and maligned, every time you've knocked on a door and had the door slammed in your face, every time you've taught a Sunday school class and those kids wouldn't listen and cut up and didn't pay attention the whole time, every time you've served in the nursery and you thought, I don't know if I can serve in the nursery again, everything you've done for God one day is going to be rewarded. It's all going to get a reward. It's all going to be rewarded one of these days. And I say to you, God's judgment, there's a weighing of God's weighing, there's a rewards. One day God is going to reward those who serve. Notice the last thing very quickly about God's weighing. And boy, this is what I really want to get to this morning. The last thing I want to look at about God's weighing is the affection of God's weighing. You see, if we go strictly by this book, we're all in a world of hurt. Because this book says we're condemned sinners. But I want to tell you, there's a God. Don't you notice what the Bible said, Romans chapter 2, verse 4? Romans 2 verse 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. In Psalm 33 verse 5, he says, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I heard people say, well, preacher, you know, how can someone be brought to Christ? Well, the Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Where do you find the goodness of God? Do you find it in the church service? The Bible says, Psalm 33, verse 5, that the earth is full of the goodness of God. Do you know just the fact that we can get up this morning and come to a church service in freedom is the goodness of God? The fact that you have a way to get here this morning is the goodness of God. The fact that you're not in the hospital this morning is the goodness of God. The fact that we have air to breathe and food to eat and clothes on our back is all the goodness of God. And the Bible said the goodness of God, the earth is full of His goodness, and the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Notice what the Bible said in Isaiah 30, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all those that wait for Him. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. My favorite verse in this whole passage, in this whole message, Jeremiah 9, verse 24. But at him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, we've read a ton of verses about judgment and righteousness, but he added a word this time. Notice the word before judgment. The Lord which exercise loving kindness. Now, God says a lot about His judgment. And He says a lot about His righteousness. But I sure am glad He threw in some loving kindness. Notice what the Bible says in Hosea chapter 2, verse 19. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. He throws another good one in there. There's judgment and there's righteousness, but then there's loving kindness and then there's mercy. Can I say to you, that is the affection of God's way. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and verse 19, therefore as by the offense of one judgment, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Let's go back to verse 18, if you would, please, Brother Josh. Therefore, by the offense of one judgment, came upon all. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You see, as God sits on the throne, there are two scales on the throne. There's the balance of God's judgment and the balance of God's righteousness. And as God looks down on earth, He sees His judgment, which is true, which is right, and He sees His righteousness. And as He looks upon us, He realizes that while our actions don't weigh up with God's righteousness. And so God says, my judgment must come to balance the scales. To tip the scales, I must execute my judgment on a sinful people to balance out my righteousness. Now, I'll tell you, if God does that and does it with just our iniquities and His righteousness and His judgment, we're all doomed. But God looked upon the human race and says, as I look at the scales, they're way out of balance. Well, their judgment is great. And their righteousness is non-existent. But God said, I love them. And I can't let my judgment outweigh my righteousness. So here's what I'll do. I'll send my son down to earth and I'll give him a sacrifice for all mankind so that the righteousness of one may balance out the iniquity of all. And God's judgment meets with His righteousness on the cross of Calvary. May I say to you, that is the affection of God's weighing scales. He looks at the scales and He says, man, their iniquity and the judgment that I must judge sin and iniquity with is so great and their righteousness is so little and as a matter of fact, it's non-existent. Their righteousness is as filthy rags. He said, I can't even stand their righteousness. Even their righteousness is repugnant. And God looks at the scales and He says, my judgment is heavy. My judgment is based upon truth. It is just and it is right. And yet my righteousness must be met. And so God sent one, His Son Jesus Christ, to balance out, if you will, to tip the scales and to balance out the scales so that through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone, we meet God balanced. His righteousness overrules his judgment. And he said in Romans chapter 5 verse 18, therefore is by the offense of one judgment, of one, that being Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, we're all condemned. Even so by the righteousness of one, that being Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. It's interesting in John chapter 16 verse 8, Jesus speaking, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. He says this, makes this statement. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, the Holy Spirit has come. He has one primary job. He has a lot of jobs, but his primary job is to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit's job this morning is to put before our eyes God's righteousness and God's judgment. And the only thing that will balance out God's judgment is God's righteousness. And I want to tell you, if we don't receive God's righteousness, we are doomed for eternity. But if we'll receive God's Son and receive what he did over on the cross of Calvary, may I say it to you, not our good works, but God's righteousness will tip the scales. And we'll balance out. We'll be accepted by him. Acts chapter 24, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. You understand that when we are at the crossroads of either receiving Christ or rejecting Christ, there's two elements that you're basing that judgment on. Judgment and righteousness. Either I can receive the righteousness of God and skip the judgment of God. Or else I can reject the righteousness God and have to deal with the judgment of God. But God sits on the throne. And on that throne, there are two elements to the scale. There's God's judgment and God's righteousness. I say again, either you receive his righteousness and reject his judgment, or else you reject his righteousness and receive his judgment. But God is a God of judgment and a God of righteousness. The Bible says he delights in that. I ask you this morning, have you ever received God's righteousness? By the way, that not only goes for salvation, that also goes after we're saved. You understand that Amos is talking to God's people, the Israelites. And there was a time even after they were saved, they were redeemed, that they rejected God's word and God's commandments, and they rejected that. And God said, okay, you got to deal with my judgment. So we have to make that decision for salvation. We also have to make that decision after salvation on a daily basis. Tomorrow morning, are you going to receive God's righteousness and impute God's righteousness, or are you going to deal with God's judgment? God has a scale, righteousness and judgment, and we're weighed by God. Thank God for the affection of God's scale. He looked down in his love and his mercy, and he said, man, they can't do it on their own. So I'm going to send my love down. I'm going to send my son down. I'm going to let him tip the scale so that my judgment will be outweighed by my righteousness, by the righteousness of one man. I ask you this morning, have you received that righteousness? Jesus Christ came to an old rugged cross, died for your sins and for my sin. He said, preacher, I'm not sure that I've sinned. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God by one man's offense. Judgment is upon all of us. And yet by one man's obedience, God's righteousness has been appeased. Have you received God's righteousness? God's going to weigh us one day. The Bible says this, they were weighed in the balance and found wanting. I ask you, when you're weighed by God, and you will be, because every one of us shall give an account to God. Every one of us. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess, and every one of us are going to give an account to God. And when we face God, God's going to take the scales out. And we're going to be weighed on our judgment, and on his judgment and on his righteousness. If you've received his righteousness, it'll outweigh his judgment. If you reject his righteousness, his judgment will outweigh his righteousness. How are you on God's scale this morning? Are you found in the balances and found wanting? I hope not. I want to tell you, his righteousness outweighs his justice if you receive it.